Welcome to Flights of Fantasy, your podcast book club. I am Christina, one of your hosts, and I'm joined, as always, by my book besties, Kim and Anna.
Yay!
Hello, ladies.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, everyone, you are in for a treat this evening, listeners.
Yes.
We are here to speak to you this evening about, I think it's safe to say, one of our new favorite books.
Yeah.
Yes.
One of our new favorite series. One of our new favorite authors.
Yes. All the new favorites.
Yes to all.
Yes. Okay. So we are discussing The Ashes and the Star-Cursed King, also known as Serpent 2.
Correct.
Also known as Satuan 2. Yes. And also known as the second book in the Crown of Nyaxia series. All of those by Carissa Broadbent, all of them being the same book.
Yeah.
That we will be discussing. So, that being said, this is your spoiler warning for this entire book. This is going to be part one, but we will be discussing the entire book. We will not be breaking it up. So, This is your spoiler warning for the whole book, even though this is only part one of the episode.
Right.
Yes.
Also, a spoiler warning for Serpent and the Wings of Night, the first book in this.
Yes.
And just, like, why not? Let's give a spoiler warning for the novella in between.
Sure.
The Six Scorched Roses.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
All of them.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Yeah.
Guys, go. I'm so excited.
Okay, yay. Okay.
I'm so excited to dive in and talk all things Rain.
Ah! Okay. Guys.
Oh!
What a wild ride.
What a wild ride.
This, I think this was maybe, in my opinion, I think I liked this one more than book one.
I think so, too.
I don't know. There are parts of book one that I liked more, but I think, like, the heart of book two.
Yeah. I feel like I felt this way after book one, too, that I was like, this is incredible. I, like, can't handle it. I want to talk about it, and it's just, like, one of my new favorites. And so to feel that amount, that enthusiasm again for the next book is, like,
incredible.
Good job.
Incredible.
Yes. I love it.
I think we were all a little bit anxious because, I don't know, like, we love the first book so much. And so you just never know, like, what the second book's going to be like. And oh my gosh,
it exceeded expectations.
I kept thinking it was, like, going to be middle book syndrome.
No.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a middle book. It's the completion of their story.
Yes.
And then we're going to have more spin-off books.
Correct.
So once I started
it. Guys, I love a duology. Really. Oh, yeah. It's so clean.
I love, I go back and forth. I love duologies, but then I'm always like, no, I want more.
Me too. But then it's like, it's almost what we shouldn't get because, like, Six of Crows and Crooked Kingdom is also, like, really just amazing too.
Perfectly
whereas, like,
done.
I would love more of
that.
We love, but, like,
Bridge Kingdom and Trader Queen.
Yes, and Trader Queen.
So fantastic.
It just, a duology keeps it very tight, you know, like, keep it tight.
Keep it tight.
Yep.
Okay.
So.
Should we do, like, a where we left off at the end of book one situation?
Yes.
I can do that if we want to.
Great. Go for it. Yes, Kim.
Okay. So, obviously, at the end of book one, shit hit the fucking fan at the last, like, Qajari battle. It was named after a moon phase. I can't remember what that phase is right now. But anyways.
Doesn't matter.
So, So, basically, Aurea is about to die in this battle against one of the Bloodborne contestants. And at the last minute, Rain looks to the audience, nods. This chick is like, oh, okay, peace out. Good luck to you, though, because this is not a fun situation. She dies. Then it's Rain and Aurea together fighting, and it's beautiful. And she kills him, or he kind of helps her along.
Nyaxia he sacrifices comes down. Himself, basically.
Right, he sacrifices himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Nyaxia comes down. She's like, what do you want? And instead of being like, I want to be Coriatus bond with my dad, Vincent, she's like, I wish Rain had won the tournament. Oh, shit.
Oh!
Rain comes back to life. He's like,
crazy
what the fuck have you done? And he's like, well, shit. Now I have to go kill your dad. So he goes, kills Vincent.
We are in a predicament.
He's like, really wish you hadn't done that.
To kill him.
Surprise.
Surprise.
I am the heir of the Rishon.
Yes.
I'm the king.
Yes. Yeah. He's like, I have been the heir all along and I didn't tell you and I entered this tournament so that I could become the king and therefore I have to kill your dad. And she's like, what the fuck is happening? He kills Vincent. It's very sad. It's very upsetting. Mm-hmm. So then to, like, save Aurea, Rain has to pretend that he's keeping her as, like, his
basically
wife, but also kind of like a captor,
prisoner.
Slave.
Yeah,
prisoner.
Yeah.
And she's displeased about it, to
Absolutely.
Say the very least. So that's kind of how it ends. They get married.
Oh, also, Vincent dies and Aurea's Airmark shows up. She's also an heir.
Yes! Oh my god, I'm forgetting all the most important parts.
She's also.
So now they're both heirs.
Heir.
Heir and heir married. against two rival vampire clans, and she's
like
pissed.
Romeo and Juliet, West Side Story.
Oh, it is. It is total Romeo and Juliet. She's pissed. She's like, "Fuck you! I hate you. What is going on?" He's like, "Yeah, I did this to save you." And go to book two. So now
and
we're here.
Two. Yep.
It's not. She's not happy. I'll tell you that much. She's not happy.
So yes, that's where we leave them. Mm-hmm.
That's where we left off in book one. And now we are starting book two off with a very pissed off and upset Araya. And Rain is being the sweetie, amazing guy that he is, that we just love so much.
Just yes. being our heartthrob everywhere.
Araya's not in a good place, which, like, understandable.
Sure.
Totally understandable. Like, she and Rain are not in good, good terms.
Well, and Rain has to act a certain way, clearly, because, you know, he is now the new king. And he's the new king over all these nobles who are, like, just really awful humans.
Oh, terrible.
He has to, like, put on this facade, this act.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
As the evil king.
Uh-huh.
Part of that is, like, this bitch, I hate this. I don't care about this wife of mine.
Yeah.
Yes, so
that was interesting to see him try and, like, he keeps going back to, like, how Nikolai. I don't know how to say, I think it was Nikolai or something like that.
I said Nikolai in my head too.
It was very Russian in my head. I was like, okay, we're just gonna be Nikolai.
I think it's Nikolai, but I say Mish. I mean, who am I to correct people?
But anyways, he kept resorting back to, like, his memories of Nikolai and how, you know, awful and horrific of a conqueror and ruler he was. And he was, like, in some ways trying to emulate him, but he didn't actually want to be him. So it was kind of interesting to see him put on this facade of, like, the first time he hosts in the throne room and Araya sees right through it. And she's like, this is all a facade.
Oh, and I loved that.
I loved that too, because it was so important that... it was important for us as readers to know that she recognizes that, and also important because it shows that they still, like, on some level, understand each other more than anybody else does.
Exactly.
And she can read all of his tells.
Yeah, and, like, the tells, she would be like, oh, and the way he did this, which was no one else would notice, but, like, the way he tugged at his sleeve or tugged at his collar.
Or, like, his throat, his, like, swallowed, or, the tick in his jaw.
And she was like, but it was so obvious to me. And then there's a part where he's, like, knowing that she could see through it, but no one else could, and, like, oh, God, they're great.
They're so wonderful. God, I love them.
So good. Before we, like, move on too far into the book, there was this great quote from the prologue that was such a parallel to... all of our interludes in the first book were from Araya's POV, and the prologue was from Vincent's. Yep. The prologue and the interludes in book two are all from Rain's POV, which was great to see his, like... We'll get into that.
Oh, my God,
but
there was
a quote in the prologue that very much paralleled what Vincent said in his prologue in book one, which was the king, and he finds Araya as a child, and it's like, little did he know that this human child would end up being, like, the downfall of his reign and his kingdom and his ruination or whatever. Yep. And there's this quote from Rain's POV, and says, maybe the king always knew that his greatest love would be his ruination. Maybe he knew it in the moment he met her. He'd know it the second time he died too.
Oh, so good. And it's the ruination, and, like, you know, he would always know the greatest love. Like, all of that is direct parallel. But it's so interesting because we open with this prologue saying the king. Mm-hmm. And we're like, the king.
Yeah.
Are we going back to Vincent? Oh, no, it's Rain. Rain is the king. And so it's such an interesting way.
Yeah. Oh, Christina, you're so true.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of like, who would this be? You know, are you Vincent?
Who'd be
are
the
you
king?
Who'd be the king?
Who'd be the king?
And it's such a great callback. Carissa writes, I'm going to make a bold statement, probably the best prologues I've ever read in a book.
They are attention grabbing.
Oh, incredible.
I think I said this in the last episode. I'm usually like prologue, schmologue.
Yeah.
these prologues, I love them.
Oh, they're incredible.
Because they give us actual flashback, like, beautiful stuff.
Funny, I gave it to my husband when we were on our beach vacation a few weeks ago.
Oh, right.
I gave the book one to my husband to read. Uh-huh. I was like, just read the prologue. Like, it's a beautiful prologue.
Yeah, this upsets me. I'm not going to lie to you.
It's like two or three pages. He was like, no, this ain't for me. I'm not doing Twilight. And I was like, how dare you?
How dare you compare Rain to Twilight?
Rain?
I was like, well, you don't deserve it.
And
yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yes. You know what? You don't deserve to read this. That's right. Not for you. That's hysterical. Benjamin. I mean, oh, it's so good.
That's so funny.
Okay. Oh, also, speaking of like a tie-in, I know this is so annoying to do, and I know that authors probably hate this, but like Rain did such a Rhysand move in that throne room. So he goes and he's like sitting in his throne chair, and Aurea has a chair that's like behind him, and immediately he's like and pulls it up next to him, and his little like advisor person, which like fuck Karis. Him, is like, are you sure you want to do that? Yeah. Without hesitation, he goes, yep, sure am. And I was like, hell yeah, you are.
Sure am.
And I was like, that is so a Rhysand move if I've ever seen one.
Exactly. Court of Nightmares where there's one throne. And
oh, yep. And he's like, nope.
No chance.
Come sit here. Oh my God. I just like, guys, I love him. Take a shot every time you hear me say, God, I love him so much. You'll be blackout drunk at the end of this episode because
we love him.
I love
him. He's so perfect. Like, he's a sweet angel. He's perfection. Okay, we're going to get into it. We'll get into all the sweet moments.
We will. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I mean, we could go on. We could have a whole episode about Rain.
I could.
Don't tempt me. Okay, yeah. We see Vale from the novella. Yay! Hey,
guys.
I love his little walking kind of, in. Like, late entrance.
Yeah. Oh, it was good. Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he comes in, and then he bows, and that's why everyone else bows, because he's like
walking in,
pledging my loyalty.
So good.
And Rain's like, oh my God. Like, and I was like, Vale's here! Like, oh, it was so exciting. Vale! Also, I just love that Carissa was like, hey, they're going to be a big part in book two. And then he shows up immediately. And he is a bit. I'm like, thank you for just paying off on this very quickly and being like, he's in book two and he's in there from the beginning.
And it does and help you because like, even like, I mean, we have a whole episode on Sis Scorched Roses, but I do love that reading that novella, I think gives you a really good insight into like why Rain is so suspicious of Vale and, not like he checks in on Lilith. Like, are you here willingly? Like, did this, like, are you cool? Yes. Like, are you okay?
That was very sweet.
He was like, you are never trapped in my kingdom.
Yeah, she was like, no, that's not what's happening.
That's cute, but that's not what happened here.
She was like, why are you talking to me? What?
Yeah, she's like, no. What? He was like,
I also love that we get some of Rain, you know, we need to move on, but like, I do love that we get Rain's like,
let's just talk about Rain for a moment.
Agreed.
His inner monologue of the torture and the, shame that he felt when he was a slave under Neculi and then having to kind of like balance that. And now he's the king and he didn't ask for it. He never thought this would come to him. And there's this great quote that he says, or it's in his inner monologue. And I think he's standing in front of all of the Rhysand nobles for the first time. He says, I couldn't help but wonder as they filed into the vast, beautiful throne room, whether they actually remembered me. They certainly didn't remember all those little mundane cruelties. To them, just another part of another night. I remembered, though. Every humiliation, every violation, every strike, every casual agony. I remembered it all. And I forget that, like, he was raped. He was tortured.
Horribly.
He was brutalized. Yeah. For 70 years. His first 70 years that he became this new creature, this vampire.
Yeah.
Oh, and you see that was part of his arc the whole time.
Oh, it's
absolutely.
It's so heartbreaking. And like, because you love him, like, oh my gosh, getting his POV was so incredible. Yeah. Like, I was
so thrilled for that. And it really made the book what it is, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
without
I agree, Christina.
His POV, I think this book, I don't know if it would have fallen flat, like everything else would have happened, but I wouldn't have this emotion.
Yeah.
Towards it.
I don't think we could have had the last book's ending and not gotten his POV. I think it would have been a disservice because I don't know how we would have moved on without understanding.
Well, especially with Aurea being the way that she was in this book. Like, we needed to see Rain. I needed to see someone pulling their weight in this relationship. And he carried that relationship on his fucking back and was like, I'll do it. You just exist.
You sure did.
And I'll just love everything about you. And then
you be mad at me all you want. I will sit outside your door and I will say sweet things about you.
God, he's good. Okay.
He's so good.
Okay.
What else? And speaking of sitting outside the door, the moment when the first one of many, when he said, there she is.
Oh, I love those.
Lost it.
There she is.
Lost it.
They're so well placed and it happens a lot.
A lot.
Yeah.
But I loved it every time. It was a lot. But that first time, I was like,
oh, so good. Yeah, yeah. But then there's times like she'll be like, there he is.
And it's just like the back and forth. It's the play with me. It's the getting a rise. It's, are you there? Are you not broken? Even her anger, like Rain is like, you know, I'd rather her be angry. Her anger, I think at one point he says, even her angry is beautiful.
Oh, he loves everything. Yeah. He loves everything. Worships the ground she walks on.
She can do nothing wrong.
Truly.
Speaking of Araya, do we want to chat about Ray?
She, guys, the only qualm I have about this book is that, and don't get me wrong, I validate her feelings. I would totally be a mess. I'm not saying she did not deserve to feel anything that she felt. She did. But by the time we were on page like 400 something, I was like, I need you to give this man a crumb back. Okay.
Yes.
He is pouring his heart out to you and you're just like, beg me. And I'm like, okay. Sister?
Okay.
Sister, I need you to.
I liked the beg me in the bedroom. So the first time, because that was hot. I got really frustrated when we're in the cave and she kept saying this herself. I missed him, but I can't say it. I was feeling things and I can't say it. And so
he's at one point, it, he goes, he's telling
at one
you.
Point, he says, Araya, like he's going to say something. And she literally.
She goes, shh,
shh. Like, excuse me.
No.
Excuse me. Take several
shush,
sheets.
Ma'am, don't shush him. God. He is an angel.
And he was going to tell you something sweet.
This is granted. Our frustration is not at the beginning of the book. The frustration is at the end
no.
of the book.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
like
the
second half when we've gone through all of the shit that we're going to talk about and all of the wonderful things Rain has bent over backwards to prove to her.
Truly.
Yes. That like, just loves could her. Not have proven himself more.
Yes.
I agree.
Throw the kid a bone. She can't even say
I love
you.
Just a literal crumb. Just something. Just
anything.
Miss you too. Miss you too.
Crumb.
That's all I'm saying.
We do get a be careful.
We get careful. A, like, don't die.
If you just could help it, I don't actually care, but if you could, just
don't die.
Don't die.
Try not just try. To perish.
Okay, but going back to the beginning, some like a theme that we see pull in from the first book is this whole thing between like Vincent the father and Vincent the king.
Yes.
And that is kind of, it's still in this book, obviously, because Vincent died with so many questions left unanswered.
Yeah. Oh, so many. Speaking of Vincent, I do just want to say here really quick before we get like further into Vincent, that for me personally, I personally have a bit of a trigger when reading about the death of a parent, specifically a father. Mm-hmm. So I very much skimmed a lot of these parts, and the specific grief is stuff that I feel like we are not going to go into super intense detail on because it's just not, you know, good for me mentally and emotionally. Sure. But if you specifically want to really dive into that aspect of the book and discuss the grief, please DM Anna and Kim. They will discuss it with you.
We will discuss
it with you. But in this book, honestly, there's so much to talk about that, like, I would rather talk about Rain any day than that.
But yes, no, her grieving is a lot of the beginning.
Yes, it's a lot in the beginning. And we do, and then we move on to, like, the story and the plot and everything.
It does dissipate.
It does dissipate.
Because I was a little bit like,
Kim, I love what you were saying about trying to reconcile Vincent the father and Vincent the king, which we saw in book one, and it becomes a really big forefront here. And I feel like most of Araya's journey with her relationship with her father is becoming disillusioned to the idea, but also that love that she still has because it was her father.
Sure.
And you can't get away from that. But then,
but
then learning what love, like what a true selfless love is in Rain.
Yeah.
And then watching the two parallel each other and the
totally, Anna.
Totally.
Yes. Like, the closer her and Rain got, the more she, like,
realizes.
Didn't hear Vincent's voice in her head as much. Yes, she didn't really want it because she was like, no, like, I don't need you anymore. Like, I can do this. Mm. And she was, it was so beautiful the way Carissa did it. Like, to see her progress and
Rain building her up to the point where she could counteract some of the negativity from Vincent in her head.
Yeah.
You know, like, she had that confidence from him to be like, no. And it's beautifully done.
I love that she had Vincent in her head. That was a really good writing choice.
Agreed.
I thought it was a really smart way to keep Vincent around in death.
It kept his character alive, sort of.
Kept his character alive. Right. And it was also like, he was still very much a character. But as you go on, he becomes less and less. Yeah. He becomes not as much of a focal point for her as she learns how strong she is. And Rain is just
to rely on herself, too.
Yes. And as you, as a reader, also become disillusioned with him.
Yes, right.
Yes.
Not that we loved him, thought he was a, you know, from the beginning.
We had a bit of a better look at it.
I was going to say, we were already not
love
totally
him.
On board. But right, I feel like right. we also saw these things and we're like, fuck you, Vincent. Like,
oh, totally.
When we get to Evelina and we learn more about his history, it's really, it's going to be really good to dive into
I was like, oh, absolutely fuck this man. I hate
Evelina was a character, but.
She was wild. Oof.
Okay, so I want to quickly, just chat quickly about Septimus.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Was anybody else a little frustrated by the end of this book with his
disappeared.
Character?
Uh-huh. He disappeared.
Okay, so I have a bone to pick. This is one of my, maybe one of my hot takes.
Okay. Tell us.
Yeah. Tell us a
so
hot take.
I was very interested in Septimus.
Me
because
too.
I thought he was an interesting character. I love the way the book one ended and like I've been rooting for you. I always bet on the winner or whatever.
Yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
Stupid cigars.
And he is interesting. He played a very specific role in getting like Aurea and kind of pitting Rain and Aurea against each other.
He was needed.
The battle at the armory. He was needed.
Yeah.
However, there was that weird scene with the cigarillos and him and his hand shaking.
Yeah.
And I remember texting, I think it was Christina, I think you were still behind us at that point. Yeah. I texted him and I was like, theory, like this is, what is this?
What is
like,
this?
Oh my gosh, like what is it hiding? Is like, what is this shaking about? And then nothing comes of it. Literally nothing.
It's strange, yeah.
Just dropped this little nugget, and it was such an oddly specifically written paragraph. It wasn't even like, it was a paragraph.
Well, and they have this whole thing where he tells Aurea that story about his brother, and he climbs to see Nyaxian, begs him.
Oh, God, I forgot about all that.
That whole story.
And you think that he's the chosen one to save the people, but he's the brother of the chosen
brother,
one to save
and
the
so
people.
Then you're, But then you're like, okay, so where does that come into play? Like, is this going to, like, tie in somehow? And I have a theory. I know what she's doing. I mean, we all know what she's doing.
I was
going to
say,
she's saving him.
Yeah.
She's saving him for the next duology.
Yeah.
And I have a theory that Septimus is going to be the bigger villain in the next duology. And then maybe Nyaxia is going to come back at the very end, the third duology, and be like, I'm back, bitches. I'm going to fuck shit up. Because remember they say at the end, like, today, not tomorrow, but one day. I was like, wait, we get it. Not Thursday, not Friday, but maybe next Saturday she's going to come back. I'm like, all right, we get it.
Don't you forget about her. But I totally agree, Kim.
It was like she literally, quite literally just disappeared. So after that moment, I know we're skipping up. I'm not going to get into it, but when Rain is battling Simon on the balcony.
Yeah.
And the last mention of him really is like,
really
just standing there, like watching them, like
staring.
Smiling with this fucking cigarette thing. Oh, and then that's it. And then he's just
It
gone.
Was so odd.
And then they have the conversation about like, they're all mad because they can't find him. And And Aurea is like, did you search everywhere in the castle? And they're like, yes, we searched everywhere, Aurea.
Yeah.
And it's like they're just like, okay, I don't understand. And like, he probably went back to.
And I get it. I guess we're going to, you're right, Kim. We're probably, he's going to be a big character. It's just interesting. And he was interesting. I liked him.
Totally. And the way she talked, what was her exact phrasing in the author's notes?
I liked him as a character. I didn't like him as a person.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
No, I definitely think that she's saving him. And I totally get that. Yes. And that's fine. But it just felt a little bit like he just dropped off the book completely.
Mm-hmm. Like she kind of was like, man, I'm going to just not talk about him anymore.
Yeah. I was like, no.
And it kind of, it leaves the rest of us a little bit like, well, what happened?
Right. Like he, he told her this whole fairy tale thing and then it was like, bye-bye.
Because if you want to save him, I think we need it for the next book. Like, I get it. But I feel like we needed some sort of like crazy villain exit or him to be like, oh, like you'll see me at something. Just like something to be like, oh, he's coming back.
Yeah, agree.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like just some, we like find a cigarillo in their bedroom and it's like, what? He was here, like something. I don't know. They're like,
so
just something.
That's like so
you know?
Amazing.
Like,
no, but then, again, we get that very obvious, like blatant, like Karis being like, Hey guys.
He's not done.
He's doing something big. And it's like, no fucking shit, Karis. Like, obviously, like, you're so unhelpful. Just shut up.
God,
like,
he sucks. Yeah.
Like, I felt like that was a little bit more like, that was a little bit like telling us instead of showing us. Like,
yes.
I'm not, listen, Karis is a fantastic writer.
Oh.
So I'm not saying this is a, it was just an interesting writing choice because we know she can show, don't tell. So it was an interesting choice for it to be like, hey, P.S. everyone, he's not done.
He's coming back.
It was a little J-Law.
Yeah. It felt like if he is going to be the villain or a big part of the next duology, we could have like laid clues.
Yeah.
Like, see, I don't know, both more obviously and less obviously. So like, a laid clue.
Like maybe we didn't need this cigarillo moment.
Yeah. Like why?
Like, I mean, we could have had the story. The story is fine.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
That's fine. Because I could see as like, that's helpful. Maybe we're setting up or getting a bit of his backstory. Okay.
Right.
It was a cigarillo moment. And maybe I'll read the next duology and I'll be like, oh, okay. She just wanted to leave this little nugget for you to fester
on. Right.
And that's probably what it is.
That's probably it.
what it is.
Which we are actively doing right now.
Exactly. Right. Which is fine. But yeah, anyways.
Yeah.
Okay. So speaking of Septimus being a sneaky, sneaky fuckhead, he has arranged to betray Rain and kidnap him and take, like, they drug him at the party.
I was stressed. Oh,
that's what I was texting you guys. I was like, I am fucking stressed.
Yes.
First, when he starts having the conversation in front of Araya, I go, okay, well, this is a little too convenient. And then when she finds the little speaker thingy and she's like, hey guys, by the way, Jessamine, go attack the armory. And then next scene, he's all, Septimus is telling Rain, BT Dubs, I'm going to pull my men out of the armory. We're actually not going to do this. I was like, oh shit.
Oh, I was like, this is bad.
This is
he
not
knows.
Go well.
He knows.
Bad news.
He's pitting them against each other.
I thought it was just that. Like, I didn't think he was going to this level to be like, oh no, we are fucking you over and we are taking over this kingdom and you are going to die. Like,
I thought he was going to, like, use him as his puppet king
trying to get Araya and Rain to hate each other so that he could pick one. Right. Have one to control rather than trying to control both of them, because obviously controlling one is better than two.
Right.
So, okay, so quickly summarizing the Battle of the Armory, it was fun to read because we get to see Araya kind of, like, sneak out and she does her little, like, kind of Selena TOG thing where she sneaks out of the castle and she joins the battle and, you know, joins Jessamine.
And Rain's like, what are you doing? You shouldn't be here. And she's like, tee-hee.
Yeah. Tee-hee. Surprise, bitches.
Very Selena. Very Selena.
Loved it.
Very Selena. But anyways, so she battles and we get, like, a moment where Jessamine is about to kill Rain.
Yes.
And she basically calls Jessamine off and she's like, uh-uh, because she can't kill him.
Because she can't kill him.
She
can't kill him, guys. No, she could never.
But, I love Rain's line is like, it was all her, deadly and stunning. Even her hatred was fucking beautiful.
Oh my God.
Hatred was beautiful. Jesus.
I know.
Love him so much.
Anyways, so Araya gets, like, shot with an arrow, but she ends up being fine. It's okay. Cool. But Rain, the next big thing that happens is Rain takes Araya to his apartment the human district.
This was so smart from so Carissa sweet. Because I loved this. I was like, can we just, like, see Rain, like, have a full convo with him, like, mask dropped and her and her mask. Because every time he has his mask dropped a little bit, like, in her doorway or something, she's like, fuck you, I'm shutting you down. So, like, I was just like, can you both have a conversation somewhere where you
They get interrupted. Get interrupted, his mask has to go back on.
Yep.
But it was so great to see him here. And, like the way that she wrote, Araya says, like, I noticed that, like, he seemed more comfortable here than I'd seen him in weeks.
Yes.
The way he just collapsed on the bed and took a deep breath and felt everything, like, released from his shoulders. It was just, like, so well done. And I also love the little, like, jealousy where Araya's like, so do you just, like, bring girls back here all the time?
Yeah.
And he just, like, rolls his eyes and he's like, no, Araya.
He's like, I'm married. If you didn't remember.
Exactly.
She's like, I don't care. I was just
checking.
I just was asking. Like,
I do love that. Like, all of this in the beginning is so great because you get it. She's not going to just be like, okay, yeah, well, you killed my dad, but I'm over it now.
But, like, you're really hot, right. So let's just do this thing.
I do love the little banter, though, because she does care. Like, she does. Well, I can't tell you, so I'm just going to, you know, act like I don't, but I do.
Yeah, just for funsies, like,
just for funsies.
Do you sleep with other girls? And he's like, no, bitch, I'm married. She's like, right. Yeah, I mean, like,
cool. I don't care.
Cool.
So, but a big thing that happens while we're in the apartment is that Rain finally feels comfortable enough because there's no, like, prying ears or prying eyes,
prying anything.
Prying
all of the things.
He's like, hey, listen, so Septimus wants us, Septimus wants everyone to find these, like, god blood because he has god teeth and he wants god blood.
I have some hot takes about this.
Yeah.
I'll talk about it later.
But anyway, so Rain is like, hey, listen, let's work together. I want us to, like, be a team. Mm-hmm. Let's find the god blood together and let's not let Septimus get a hold of it.
Right.
Let's work together to throw him out of our kingdom.
Hell yeah.
And then if you want, you can go do anything you want. You are free to go.
You're free. Yes.
This isn't our, like,
I know.
That we get later. Like, he's like, hey, here's the offer.
Totally.
And she's like, so you want me to work with you? And he's like, yes. Like, I promise you'll be free.
Yeah.
I do love this little, like, banter between them. She's like, what is your word worth? And he says, not much. It's seen better days. A little banged up, but it's all I have to offer, unfortunately.
God.
Oh!
I know. It's, like, so sweet. It's just, like, so cute. But anyway, so they agree to work together.
Be allies again.
And right before they leave, he says, I always meant it, the offer I made you. There is no one I would rather have ruling this kingdom beside me than you. And Araya just says, I know.
I know.
They know.
They know.
So good.
Oh God, I love it so much.
It's so good. Oh, we also find out here that good, amazing King Rain has been implementing the like safety protocol that keeps the humans safe that no other king cared to do. So now,
so important. This is so important.
Vigilante shit at night for the vampires because the vampires, Taylor doesn't have to come in and do vigilante shit. T-Swift is busy.
Vigilante shit. That is so important, Christina. And I think this is also one of the first big moments that Aurea sees a big chink in that armor of love that she has for Vincent, because she's like, wait, like, how did you do that? And he was like, well, no one was doing it before.
At all.
Yeah. So she's like, wait. So like, me being a human, like, he still didn't want to protect the human district, even though I'm a human.
Well, Vincent always said it was like too, like, it was too much work, or there wasn't, like, it was, and Rain was like, I made it happen.
Yeah. I'm like, nobody even likes him as a king. Like, no one even wants him to be king. And he still is like,
It was something like Vincent, she like has in her head, like, Vincent always told me it wasn't possible.
Yeah.
Or like,
yes, that's what it is.
And I think Rain is like, well, it just wasn't made a priority. Like, he's so, I just have to say, I know that I have blinders on with Rain, but like, he is so gentle with Aurea about her father. Like, he's not like, fuck that guy, he's a piece of shit, I don't even know why you're sad he died. Like, he, Vincent was a horrible, horrible person in many regards. So Rain could be like, all right, like, take those rose colored glasses off, but he's so gentle with her, and he's not like, your fucking dad, he didn't want to do it. So like, I had to do it.
Yeah,
like,
and I think he realizes that, like, okay, well, A, he's in a predictament because he killed her father.
There's that pessimism.
But more importantly, Kim, to, like, your point, it's, she has to come to this realization on her own. And if he was to just, like, shove it down her throat, how do we think that would play out?
Right.
Not in his favor.
Right.
She's going to, like, shoot the messenger.
Right.
Yeah. So she has to, like, realize it on her own. And all he can do is be there whenever she has these moments, which she has as the book goes on. He's there when she says, why?
Yeah.
Why did he do this?
Yeah.
He gives an answer. And it's always so simple, and it's always very unemotional.
Totally.
It's very, very well done. Kudos, Carissa.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I just think, I thought it was a really smart choice on her part, how she handled that, like, balance with them.
Well, then we get back from the apartment, and Misha's back.
I have to say, in this,
still
in
the hate the name.
Book, I don't think we called her Mish. Like, it's Misha, but like, in it's the first book, I don't Mish? Feel like we said Mish. And in this book, it, like, the nickname was like Mish, and I was like,
no, it's Mish. It's Mish.
Like, I
it's
can't Mish. Not say Mish.
Because I'm sorry.
Kim has is infiltrated into my head. Mish. Yeah.
Mish.
It's, the nickname is like Misha, and so it's Mish. Yeah. Like, but clearly, you guys, it is Mish. Yeah. And I is that. It? Listen, I'm gonna call her Mish, and I'm really sorry if that upsets you, but that's just what her name is to me, okay?
Yep. Sure
I
is.
Just think that's Mish, what Mish. It is. But she's back! She's back, and
I loved her energy coming in, the little cute, sweet puppy dog. And
love
she
her.
Was just like, hey, you missed me. I know you missed me. Yeah. Okay.
I know you did. I know you did.
You're so
hi.
Good.
Hi. So hi. Good. And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, she's so fun. She's such a
I'm so excited. I hope she's the main character in the next book, like the next duology. Because I think.
Oh, she is.
Is it official?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought we were speculating. Okay.
I mean, she doesn't like say her name is Mish, but she says like a.
She doesn't say her name is Mish.
Well, I mean, obviously she would never say her name is Mish because that's not how, that's not how she pronounces her name, but. I mean, that's a pesky detail. Okay. It says, and you may already be a fan of our next primary female main character, a bright and cheerful magic wielder who's masking some serious shadows of her own.
Okay. See that. Okay. But that was my next point I was going to make, was I am very excited to read Misha's book because yes, obviously she's very cheerful, but all of that cheeriness, which I think we might have said in the first book, is masking some dark shit.
Oh, absolutely.
Like she has trauma her way of handling it is, I'm just not going to handle it and I'm not going to deal with it and everything's sunshine and roses.
Yep.
Right.
And I'm so excited. We finally see some like chinks in the armor in
this
book with her.
It was,
and
really
I'm
well
really
done.
Excited to kind of dive deeper and see what characters she meets on her journeys and travels that bring her
absolutely.
Out.
Oh, it's set up so well. Like I'm so freaking excited. Like I just.
Yes. Because we got a lot of good scenes with her in this book. So it was like, it's set up. Yeah.
I agree, Christina.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the next big thing. Oh, God, you guys. This is so fucking creepy.
Oh, y'all. I can't.
Oh, is this the Lahore?
So we go to Vahore. Evangelina. We go to Vahore and meet Evelina. Which is Evelyn. A mouthful, okay. By the way.
Yeah.
Evelina. Literally every single note that I wrote was, that's weird. What the fuck? Dear God.
Hate it.
Creepy as fuck.
Hate it.
Like, hate it. Hate it.
So bizarre.
Hate it.
This chick is so fucked up, needs so much therapy.
There's so many aspects of how this is crazy.
Ray is a little surprised that there's a family member left standing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Vincent's track record is leave nobody
literally
alive.
Murder
leave
everybody.
No trace. Yeah. She was like, wait, there's a family member? Are you sure? Like,
yeah.
Are you sure about that? Get there, oof. And the first thing everybody notices is, wow, there's a lot of strange young children. Vampires.
Mm-hmm. Also, she speaks in like a child voice.
Yeah.
Like, her voice is like childlike, which really creeped me out.
The psychology behind that is so great. I just love like all
of
it.
Well, I think it's like that she never, like,
she never grew up.
She never grew up.
She's totally stunted, which is why she has all these child playmates that she's created.
It's so fucked up, you guys, to do that to kids. Like, that was, I'm not going to lie, that was really hard to read.
That was,
yeah.
The whole dinner scene, I was like, I hate everything that's happening right now.
All of it.
Was it Vale or somebody says, like, when you turn...
Yeah.
It's very Twilight Breaking Dawn.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Like, oh, totally.
Yeah.
Big
totally.
Turn to the whole
children.
Thing.
Yeah. So, like, you don't turn children because they apparently, they don't age then. They, like, remain in this...
Mentally or physically.
They remain mentally and physically in a childlike state.
Whatever age they were
when
they returned.
But yet they spend hundreds and hundreds of years in a weird way maturing. Like,
but,
seeing
like,
shit.
Yeah.
Oh, but they're not.
It's
that's
so
terrible. That's terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. And then we have dinner.
Oh my God.
And
oh,
I'll
right.
have the salad, please.
Please and thank
because
you.
Because I literally,
Caesar
please,
salad.
I'm a vegetarian at this
yes.
meal.
Caesar salad, side of bread. Do we have garlic bread?
Side of bread.
To make toast? Okay, yeah. And then this is, so they throw the, but she's like, oh, let's have dinner. And it's like, she's supposed to be like a ball. She gets the fanciest party Lahore's ever had.
Oh, it's so creepy.
Creepy. And everything's decrepit. And like the children are just standing there staring at them in like their outfits. And they said the pants and the dresses are so big on them because they're children that's like dragging on the floor.
Oh,
oh
God.
Terrible.
This is so creepy. This is so terrifying. I'm going to have nightmares.
I didn't realize that, Christina. Oh, that's so
creepy.
It's
really awful.
It's, ugh.
So, Carissa, the details. It was horrific. You did a good job.
Good details.
But then they're like, okay, dinner. And they put out these humans like on the tables.
On the table.
Yeah. And
it was very vivid. Graphic. This is not a YA book.
No.
For this.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, and that moment with Rain.
But
though.
Then Rain, yes. And Rain like puts this
woman
out of her
out
misery.
Out of her misery in a gruesome way,
but like
it's a mercy.
Does. Yeah.
And yes. Very sweet.
Orea, and it's, I think Orea's POV, and we very much, she's like, oh, she's going to die no matter what. Like, this is,
Yeah.
And then Evelina is like, oh man, you killed her.
Dang it.
And
he's like,
Rain's
oopsie.
Sorry, oops, got
sorry.
Too excited. So yeah, that was creepy and awful.
Also, Orea tries blood for the first time.
Yeah.
Oh, and she doesn't hate it.
This was like the first moment I think where we're like, okay.
Right.
So here's the half vampire coming out.
Yeah, totally, totally.
You drink blood and you didn't hate
you
it.
You didn't hate it.
Nope.
Oh, does she ever not hate it? Because that is going to come up.
Especially if it's right.
So this part of the book was especially important because we learn a lot more about Vincent and his rise to power.
Yeah.
And it was horrific.
Like, truly.
We knew that he killed everybody, right? We knew that.
Yeah.
But hearing it from Evelina's POV, or not POV, but from her mouth, and what actually happened and the way that she's, I think because she's also like a traumatized child, basically, hearing it spoken in that kind of like clipped childlike way was really a lot more off-putting. She says, like, she has this line
it's
where she's
so
like,
awful.
All the little kings were here and one king slaughtered all the rest.
Oh.
And it took me a second to read the line when I was like, little kings, what does that mean? What do you mean? And then I was like, oh shit. She means all the like nieces, nephews.
Yeah.
Anybody that was related to him that was younger, her. She was like five years old.
Anyone
he tried
else
to kill her.
Who could take the throne? Like anyone else who could be her.
He just slaughtered all of them.
And like she's hiding under the bed
and
like.
Yeah, he like pulled her out. I was like, okay, you guys, I was like, this is.
I understand
that probably towards the end, I realized we're probably supposed to feel a certain way about Vincent, but like I could not get past this. Like to me, I was like, absolutely fucking not. Like, I get it, vampire. It's brutal. They live forever. They don't care about death. Like it doesn't. I realize that it's not as fucked up as it is for like. And obviously, this is not real. this is fantasy.
Mean,
but it's
no,
like
I know what you mean. It's a totally different. It's we're not. They're not humans. We're not humans. We're not in this world.
Right. I get that, but I'm like, really hated it. Really.
No,
did
I playground. Like from this point on, it was very hard for me to feel any sort of like, oh, but Vincent loved you.
Yeah,
like,
okay, agreed.
Well,
yeah,
he slaughtered children. And then in front of another child. And, like, there's a line. I don't even want to say it. But it was something where she's, like, I sat there and watched, like, from under the bed, my siblings.
Under the bed.
Yeah.
And, like, we are playmates.
I don't want to read it.
Yeah. Oh, and then he says, like, Vincent's father, like, killed his baby brother, like, straight from the womb. Yes. And I was
that's the other interesting thing.
You.
Is like,
I was like, I hate all of you.
Yeah. I'm so glad I'm done with you.
Oh, I was like, I'm glad you're all dead, truly.
Yeah.
Reason number 5,000, I'm happy Rain killed you.
Mm-hmm. That's why I can't really be mad at Rain, because I'm like, I'm sorry, why are we all acting like he killed this great, amazing king? Like, this guy fucking sucks.
Vincent
I'm so glad he's dead. Like, I don't understand why it's like, but my father! I'm like, I get it, but, like, he sucked. Okay? He sucked.
There is a line about, like, but something about, like, you know, the way that Vincent was raised. Actually, it's Vincent at the end of the book, so we'll get to the quote. But just the interesting, one of you said, Kim or Christina, about him witnessing his father kill his baby brother. And that's what he grew up seeing his whole life. Yeah. This was normal. This is what you did. This was how you gained power. And he was tortured by his father and abused by his father.
Totally.
And then he does this. And this is, like, the cyclical effect of, and we see it from Rain's POV too.
Right. Yeah.
How everybody treated him. And that's the cycle of, like, abuse and torture and trauma. And so it's so interesting because you have two of them coming from different situations, Aurea and Rain, both products of this.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
And then them coming together is kind of what's going to break the cycle.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely. Great. Yeah.
It's absolutely so good. It does.
Oh, okay. So yeah, Lahore is traumatizing.
Yeah.
And then.
Rain.
This is big.
Rain shows up and he's like, hey, why don't we get out of here for a minute?
Okay, but guys, the big news is...
Guys,
she has wings!
I can fly.
I believe I can fly.
I was just singing Peter Pan in my head.
Yeah.
Guys, this was such a cool moment. This was so...
Yes.
Amazing to see. I mean, mostly for me, it was amazing to see how happy Rain was, like, watching her. He was so excited and, like, grinning so big watching her. I was like, God damn it, I love you.
I just love when he, he pushes her out. And he's like, okay, well, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And, like, pushes her out. And she's like, what
the? He's like, look at the sky. Really, and she's like, okay. It's very, like, re-saying, like, but did you die, though? Like, go get the ring for the rest of the time. Did you die?
And then I love, he's like, but I would have caught you. But more importantly, I knew you would catch yourself.
Beautiful.
God bless.
God bless.
But yeah, that was really fun.
One quote I wanted to read, like, you know, she obviously, like, flies and it's wonderful and they're grinning. And then she's like, how did you know that I'd be able to do it? And he was kind of like,
right.
I mean, it was just obvious.
Aren't you,
like,
half? Yeah.
You
know?
You love flying. Yeah. You were born for the sky.
He's like, I just knew you're half vampire and a powerful one. You're made for flying. And I've seen over and over again what you're capable of. It was just obvious.
Oh.
And she says, it was just obvious. He didn't need to finish. I understood him. Rain, someone who had known me for less than a year had seen that potential in me, and it was him, my enemy, someone who had every reason to cage me, who opened the door for me to seize that power.
God, it's so good.
So I think this is, like, one, I mean, obviously she's seen things about her father, like that whole thing with Evelina. I feel like this is the first time where she feels personally affected by Vincent. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah,
because this is something that clearly he must have known that she could do, and he stifled it
exactly
and didn't allow her this one leg up,
kept her in her cage,
in a world where she could be so easily killed, as he says, as Vincent has always told her,
right?
And this could have been given her a leg up if she knew how to fly. And so this is a really interesting part, so I spliced it together. So I had asked him why he had never took me flying, and I remembered now as clearly as if he was standing in front of me all over again what he had said. The last thing I wanted was for you to think you could and start throwing yourself off of balconies. He knew and he never ever told me. He never. Why? And Rain says, I think Vincent was afraid of you, Aurea.
Yeah.
Afraid? I let out a choked laugh. He was a nightborn king, and I'm just... You aren't just anything. You were his heir. You were the most dangerous person in the world to him, and I think he was terrified of you because of it. So why would he let me live if I was so dangerous? Why didn't he kill me the day he found me, instead of taking me home and lying to me for almost 20 years? Why wouldn't he just kill me instead of caging me, instead of breaking me? Suddenly, Rain was right in front of me, so close the nightfire surely had to burn. If it hurt, he didn't show it. His hands gripped my shoulders tight. You are not broken. I've never heard him so furious, but his voice didn't rise at all. You are not broken, Aurea. Do you understand me? And then she says, Vincent had ruined me. He had saved me. He had loved me. He had stifled me. He had manipulated me. He had made me everything that I was, everything that I could be, even the greatest parts of my power. The parts he never wanted me to find were his. And now here I was pouring every wound he gave me. And no matter how much they hurt, I never wanted them to heal because they were his. And I missed him so much to hate him the way I wanted to. And I hated him most of all for that.
That part.
Sorry, that was long. But like, I feel like this is her first big moment.
Yeah.
Of
yeah.
Everything I thought as a child and all the way that I thought love was not love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite part of that whole thing is like the very end where she says, I missed him too much to hate him the way I wanted to. And I hated him most of all for that.
Yeah. Oh,
just the way she writes their relationship is, even though I don't like Vincent, I mean, just personally, it is so, just like me personally, I don't like him.
He's not our favorite person.
Just the way Carissa writes that relationship is so, it's probably one of the most interesting relationships I've ever read in a the love and the hate and the dichotomy of that is just so
well done.
I actually might say that he's maybe my favorite villain. One of my favorite villains I've read. What I find so interesting about him is because we see that he did, in his way, love Aurea, right?
Yeah.
That's there. You can say it's fucked up, and it is, but it's there. Mm-hmm. And Aurea felt that love at points. It was just a conditional love, and it was a selfish love. It wasn't selfless.
Yeah, agreed.
But it's layered. He's not all bad. He's a product of like, well, he's evil, but he's a product of like his upbringing and like this, like we've already said, like a cyclical effect of like, just this is what vampires do.
Right.
But he's layered in a way that as the reader, you have these moments with Aurea where you're like, you feel for her because she loved him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it makes you go like, you're sad for her. When a villain is just like completely bad and that's the only note you get, it's not fun to read.
No.
And he is so complex and so layered that as the reader, it's much more interesting to see these battles than with Aurea and to see these different sides of Vincent that Carissa brings to the page. Like, it just makes it fun. He's a very present villain in a different way than, like, we normally read.
Well, yeah, he's very present. He's, like, constantly chitter-chattering back here with her.
Yeah, I just loved it. I thought it was, I think he was a really interesting, terrible character.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Absolutely.
That was my Vincent rant. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Okay. So the next really good moment is I loved when Misha and Aurea are training together.
Yes.
I just really love their relationship and I hope we get to see more of it. I know she's traveling, but hopefully she'll come back at some point because I love when I think Aurea says like, I'm fine. And Misha replies like, you don't have to be fine. And I don't think anyone has said that to her. Like, I don't think anyone has been like, you don't have to be fine.
You
like,
don't have
it's
to
okay.
Be okay.
Yeah. Like, I agree. I love that.
I love that.
Because she really hasn't had any friends. Like, she doesn't have friends.
I know.
You know, like she doesn't understand that like friendship bond of being able to just talk to somebody and not have to put on a mask because she thinks they're gonna kill her and eat her, you know?
Right. And then with Rain, like she opened herself up and then like she's like, well, look what happened there.
And that happened. So exactly.
But I love this quote. Aurea and Misha are talking and she's kind of asking Misha about like her magic. And Misha says, this is what I mean, Aurea. We've all got our reckoning. My turning wasn't my choice and it broke me. Rain's was his and maybe it broke him even more. Maybe the others don't let you see the shards. Maybe they don't show you the things they mourn. Doesn't mean it's not there. Doesn't mean they don't feel it. And your father, her face went serious now, fiery fierce. Her hand fell to mine, clutching tight. Your father, Aurea, felt all those things too. He was just as broken as the rest of us. This last part. Oh my God.
So good.
And he was so determined not to acknowledge it that he flayed you with those sharp edges and then berated you for having skin instead of steel.
Skin instead of steel.
Are you joking?
That's so good. It's so good.
That line. Yes. Like, shut up. That is so good.
Oh, it's so good. It's so well done.
It really is.
And that's exactly it.
It's put so beautifully.
Yeah.
I just love that perspective from Misha because I feel like
Rain
obviously has a very different view of Vincent. And like, I'm sure Misha does too, but
yes,
I think she's able to connect with Aurea in a different way about it.
And it's beautiful. Yeah.
I think she's able basically tell Aurea like, you can have complicated feelings and layered feelings about somebody. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be one note.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally, totally.
I think she's giving Aurea that like pass.
Yes.
Totally.
That it's okay.
Yeah.
You can love him and hate the things he did.
Totally.
Yeah. I think we did forget something in Lahore, though, with the creepy child woman.
Oh,
This is where we...
Very important.
Yeah,
very
I was going to say, I think we may have missed
we
a
did.
Jewelry moment here. So this is where we find the pendant thing, right? This is where we learn about that.
Yes.
Because
yes.
Also, she's like looking for Steffa Vincent's, and then the cousin's like finds her because she's like, you know, creepy and very childlike in the court.
So weird.
So weird. Yeah, Araya finds the
pendant.
The half moon, like pendant thing with like imprints of Vincent's like person, sort of.
Yeah,
like,
I didn't
know. I'm going to be honest, I don't remember what it is.
I don't really quite understand. You know what? Here's another little hot take. I still don't understand what the pendant's for. It's not god blood.
No, I don't know.
I don't understand what it is.
I mean, my hot take that we'll get to later is the god blood didn't matter.
Didn't matter.
God blood
didn't matter.
Completely pointless. It's fine.
Literally.
But anyways, so we have this pendant thing. Evelina shows up and she's like, I've always wanted to touch it, but I can't.
God.
Oh, right. Because so she can't. Weird. Because she's not. Because
she can't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes. So she captures Araya. She like holds her prisoner. Rain's like, hey, my wife hasn't come back from flying. Also, really quick, can we talk about how basically Araya was pushed out a window and now she can fly?
Yeah.
Just no practice.
No practice. No training.
Remember Feyre? Remember how she struggled?
There were lessons.
The training with
Asriel.
That's
really where I was going. I was like, do we not remember
don't
the
aches let your wings pains? Drag.
On the ground. Don't yes,
let
Christina.
Your wings drag.
They're heavy. Yes.
Anyways, okay, so that was just a little snippet. But anyways, so Rain's like, hey, I gotta go rescue Araya from creepy cousin girl.
Yeah.
And poor Araya, her wings are like, her newly discovered wings yeah. are basically crucified
just got
against a wall.
Yep.
Baby bird, fresh baby bird wings. Fresh baby bird wings. Just like a baby bird moment. In Crescent God. City. Just, oh my God.
What
oh
a tie-in. Okay. So Rain comes and saves her, and it's beautiful. And he's like, you're safe. And we're like, she is safe with you. You
she
wonderful
is safe
man.
With you, Rain.
So sweet. We have a healing moment. They heal yep. each other, or he heals her. And also her wings are sexy and sensitive to his touch. Yeah.
As apparently all wings are, you know?
You know, listen, there is a spice for every slice
that's
of life.
Right.
So,
I know. Didn't hate it. I didn't
wing fetish,
hate it.
This book may be for you.
I wasn't mad about
wing
it.
Fetish?
I wasn't mad. Actually, I wasn't mad about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's like sexy with the wings. Yeah,
sexy,
yeah.
sexy,
okay,
sexy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a scene I didn't know I needed from Bat Boys.
Well, we kind of get it a little
Sarah,
bit.
Sarah, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Asriel's book.
Oh,
Asriel's book.
We get it a little bit with Feyre does that to Rhys every once in a while, but I don't
she
think
does,
we get
yeah.
like, you know.
Oh, she does.
I need,
and then he shudders mountains. So.
That's right.
Yep. Anyway.
It's like a casual Tuesday.
Okay, so Rain is, you know, they're hot with the wings.
Very hot with the wings.
And then...
Do we want to talk about the interludes or... They are beautiful. Do we just want to touch upon it?
I just really, I love them. I felt like that was a fantastic way to get Rain's backstory, but it was weaved into the story very effortlessly where I didn't,
so well.
I didn't feel like I was like, I don't care about this. I want to go back to like, I was fully in it when we were in the interludes. I loved it. I felt like the way that she phrased it, like the slave and instead of saying like Rain. And then I don't know. I just felt like it was so well done. It reminded me a lot of the way Leigh Bardugo in Six of Crows did the backstory.
The flashbacks.
Like, Kat, the flashbacks. Yeah.
I love this too.
Her writing is just so beautiful. Like Kim, you put this quote in here, like just all the quotes about humans, like humans mourn time because it's the only currency that really matters in a life so short. Years blur by like wet paint drowned in the rain, drenching a forever blank canvas.
God.
I read that line and I was
gorgeous,
like, oh.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous. Writing.
Like drenching a forever blank canvas. Like, Carissa.
Are you
kidding
me?
Where does this come from? I'm telling you, I'm not coming up with these quotes. Okay, people?
God,
like,
seriously.
Seriously.
Feel like a dum-dum. This last one, oh, this was so sweet. In a dark world, eyes naturally find the light. She becomes the brightest thing in his. And that's talking about Rain
God.
And Nessan,
so
or however you say her
name.
Whatever her name is. I was
Nessanin.
God damn it, her writing. I love it so much. Sorry.
It's and
so
good. It's yeah, so good. It was so a good. Great way to learn Rain's backstory. Yeah. And like they were put at the perfect times throughout the book. Loved it.
Loved it. No notes.
No notes.
No notes.
Okay, so that was part one of The Ashes in the Star-Cursed King by Carissa Broadbent. Stay tuned next week for part two of this amazing episode. And until then, follow us on Instagram at Flights of Fantasy Podcast. And until next time, cheers and happy reading.
Yay!
Cheers! Happy reading, everyone.